Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Life Center, thanks for joining with us this weekend. I'm so excited. It's Pentecost weekend, which is so significant for us, not only as a church community here at Life Center, but really the church at large. And I'm excited because this weekend, we have none other than Pastor Jeff and Pastor Jesse. And we are going to be leaning into this conversation together. And so listen, in just a minute, we're going to be looking to Acts chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them, turn there. And by the way, invite somebody to join with us. Maybe you want to share this if you're watching on Facebook right now, if you're on church online or watching on YouTube, invite somebody to join with us as we lean into this conversation. Acts chapter 1, we're going to get there in a minute. But before we get there, have you ever misjudged how important something was? Have you had one of those moments?
Well, I was thinking about that, and not long ago, well, it was a few years ago now, we were in the middle of a sermon series, and the sermon series was plowing through April into May. Mother's Day comes up, so we weren't thinking, so we just kept plowing through the series. So Mother's Day message was on hell. So the mom's not so happy.
Right.
Misjudged the significance of Mother's
Okay.
Day.
Okay. Jesse, you got one?
Yeah. You know, I just think about a time where I was, really gauging the distance of a cliff that I was going to jump into a body of water. And, I misjudged the distance that I needed to go. And let's just say there were a couple bumps and bruises, but by God's grace, I'm still here to tell about it.
You're still here, yeah. I had definitely multiple moments of misjudging distance. Mine usually, it kind of goes with just that measure of faith that I think God has given me when that gaslight comes on.
Right.
I believe that that's a number to beat, you know? And so the importance of asking that question is, I wonder how many people, when it comes to the idea of Pentecost, some, they're like, Penta what? What does that even mean? And we'll get to that in a minute. But even many people, they know it relates was something about the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
But I wonder how many people treat that topic as optional.
Right.
Like it's not, and here's a word that is flying around a lot right now. It's not essential.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
And yet the reality is in Scripture, in the book of Acts, we see Pentecost happen and it changes the trajectory of the world as we know it. And that's really what I want us to talk about because, again, Jesus' disciples, they shouldn't have been caught off guard. Jesus warns them multiple times, right? I mean, how many times, how many different ways does Jesus set the disciples up?
Sure.
I mean, John 14, it's to your benefit that I go away so that the Spirit, the Paraclete, can come. And but they're still just not always connecting the dots, which, I don't know about you, that gives me hope.
Yeah.
It gives me hope, you know, that they're still kind of scratching their heads and they're, you know, just trying to figure this thing out. And this is so significant because in the Old Testament, what do we see the Spirit do? The Spirit, what? He falls on certain people at certain times for a certain project or important piece of opportunity. Now, it's important for us to recognize the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament. And he was still accomplishing the mission of God. And it's important to even make an important statement right here.
Right.
He is fully God.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit's not an it, not a force, not a thing. And, you know, I think this is significant because when it comes to Pentecost and it reveals the work of the Spirit, here's kind of our focus this week. It matters.
Yes.
It matters. So for those who are maybe tempted to say, well, that's for some of those crazy people. That's for those weird people. That's for those really loud people. It maybe matters to them, but for me, I'm doing just fine without. No, really, we cannot do what we're called and created to do without the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's even more profound than that, right? Because we can't even bring ourselves to God.
Right.
Without the Holy Spirit first drawing us. And so let's look to Scripture together. We're going to jump into Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. So I want to read these first number of verses here. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And again, Dr. Jeff. We also call you Uncle Jeff around here. Give us a little bit of background really quick. Acts chapter 1, what's going on? Where does this land kind of in the storyline of Jesus and everything?
Yeah, so we're in Acts chapter 1. We're at the tail end of Jesus and his earthly time.
Yeah.
And so this is fun. I mean, because it's like he's leaving. He's warned them. It's like, hey, I got to go because when I go, guess what? Holy Spirit's coming.
Yep.
In a new way, in a fresh way. So I got to leave. They still don't got it. You read this. They don't have it. They're still confused.
Yeah.
About like what this looks like for the Holy Spirit to be coming and for Jesus to be leaving. And so that's the setup. I mean, these are important words. They're final words. These are some of the last things we have that Jesus said before he's like, hey, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. I got to go. You're going to be okay. Yeah. Holy Spirit's coming.
Yeah. So when we hear these words, Jesus has accomplished his earthly ministry. He's been crucified. He's been buried. He's risen again from the dead. And then he shares this, and we find ourselves Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Once when he was eating with them, and I love that, resurrected Jesus still loves food.
Hungry. Yeah. Chick-fil-A, I bet you.
And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay. So once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised.
Yeah.
As I told you before. So again, Jesus reminded, you should not be caught off guard. We've talked about this.
Right.
You ever had a conversation with someone, Jesse,
with
where you're
your
like,
children.
Yeah. I was gonna say kids. We've talked about this before.
Right.
I mean, this is not Jesus is saying, listen, as I've told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?
Yeah.
Now, why is that so significant right there, Jeff?
Well, it's interesting because Jesus is iterating what he has reiterated many times. Hey, I have a plan. I have a purpose. I'm going to encompass you in this now. And this piece, I'm not laying this down for it to stay here. I'm telling you, I'm preparing a place, and I want you to wait for the promise. When the promise comes, you're going to pick right up. You're going to be empowered to do all that I've called you to do. But he's saying, hey, guys, I want to remind you again of what I've reminded you of previously.
Yeah.
Just so you know, this is what's going to happen. Yeah. So important.
And it's hilarious because they're having the same discussion yet again. So Jesus, now it's finally going to happen.
Right.
We were thinking, right? Like how many times do they think, okay, like we're going to kick Rome out now.
Right.
We're going to accomplish this. And
it's
Jesus,
about what happens right here, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And Jesus is kind of like, oh, you guys.
Yeah.
And he says this, right? Verse 7, he says, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. Verse 8, but you will, oh, I love that. But you will receive power.
Yeah.
Power. That Greek word is the word dunamis, is where we get our word dynamite, right? So it's not just like a nice little, oh, you know. I think some people think the role of the Holy Spirit is to give us those nice little goosebumps in church or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? That's not at all what Jesus is implying. You'll receive dunamis, power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses,
right,
telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, he's days before Pentecost when he shares that.
Right.
And when we talk about Pentecost, what is Pentecost? What's the significance of that? Jeff, share with us. It goes back to one of the feasts.
One of the feasts that the Jewish had been established within the Jewish culture for a number of years. I mean, thousands.
Yeah.
So they had a rhythm of life, and it lived around the calendar of the feast. We have a rhythm of life that we got Thanksgiving and we got Christmas and we got some stuff that's kind of part of our rhythm. This was part of their rhythm, and so it was the second of these. And so it was 7 weeks following Passover. Significance of Passover, getting out of Egypt, Passover, you know, that Jesus celebrated that with his disciples right before the crucifixion. So that's all there. Then they, 7 weeks, you know all about the seven.
Seven times seven.
Yeah. Yeah. So seven, all these things are significant. So they get to day 50, that is this, the day of Pentecost. And so that is this point.
And that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 2, right? So the Feast of Weeks, they're celebrating. It's 50 days following Passover. Jesus has become our perfect Passover lamb. He rises from the dead. He's revealing this truth to the disciples. The last thing he says, hey, don't leave Jerusalem. In other words, don't miss this. Don't go beyond this. You have to capture this. This is significance. And that's when it all changes, because that's really when the church becomes the church.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 2 is really one of the most important chapters for us as the church.
Yeah.
Because it's our birthplace. And so in a lot of ways, Pentecost weekend is so significant because it's like our birthday.
Yeah, you bet.
Like this is where we started.
Get the candles.
This is where it all began, right?
Yep.
And what I love about Acts chapter 2, you know, the Holy Spirit is poured out. The disciples are gathered together in this upper room. They're praying. They don't know what they're looking for. They just know Jesus said the Holy Spirit's coming.
That's right. We got to wait.
We got to wait.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're waiting for, but Jesus says it's good.
Yeah.
And they've learned by this point, if he says it's good, it's going to be good.
But they might have been a little scared too.
They might have been a little scared.
The door, yeah. Staying here.
Yeah.
There's some persecution, right? So this wasn't all sunshine and smiles, right?
Yeah. Good reminder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just think it's essential to understand, like, when Jesus tells us to wait, there's a purpose.
Right.
Like, our waiting time is not wasted time when he gives us clear directives. So he says, wait here for the promise, because without the power, you will not persevere through these various persecutions that we can really easily relate to today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, shut up in a room, kind of waiting for something.
Stay home.
Yeah. Stay home, stay healthy. Yeah. Right. And yet everything changes because the Holy Spirit shows up.
That's right.
They're filled, they're empowered. The manifestation that happens that we read about in Acts chapter 2, which is actually normative throughout the book of Acts and beyond, is they begin to speak in new languages, or what we commonly refer to as tongues. And Peter, which he has kind of an interesting track record as you read the Gospels.
He's known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter is the guy who stands up and preaches.
Right.
We were talking earlier about Peter, Jesse, and some of the things that you had brought up about him. Share a few of those thoughts.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I love some of the Greek language here. You know, it's all Greek to me, but
right.
Some of the Greek language is they identify these disciples as uneducated, ordinary people. The Greek word is idiote.
What do we get from that word?
Right. We understand. Forgive me. I don't mean to be offensive, but the same word is idiot.
Yeah.
Right. These guys aren't the sharpest of the sharp. Right. They aren't the elite of the elite, but they are the ones that Jesus selected. You know, we call this the book of Acts or the Acts of the Apostles. But I think a better title might be the power of God in ordinary people.
Yeah.
Right. So he takes this person, Peter, who really should have had peppermint socks, because the brother's always putting his foot in his mouth, right? Other times, other accounts are on Mount Sinai. You know, here God is revealing, you know, Moses, Elijah, Peter goes, let me build you guys a couple condos really quick. Let me set up shop here for you. And God the Father goes, hey, will you just listen? Listen to my son. Mm. I'm going to send my son. You know, I say when we receive the Holy Spirit, we're still the same person.
Right.
But there's a different purpose. The trajectory of our life changes. We still have similar personality.
Sure.
And Peter's personality is same brother, but just clearer purpose, clearer plan that he receives from the Holy Spirit in that time. Yeah,
I love that. And this Peter stands up, Acts chapter 2, now having received the Holy Spirit, right? And he preaches. This is the same Peter who just weeks before denied Jesus, ran away from a teenage girl. You know, surely you're one of, I don't know anything about him. To prove it, he cusses.
Right.
Right? Like
sometimes.
Beep. You know, like he just, I don't know him. Sure. And now this same Peter stands up. He's like, let me tell you about what's happening.
Right.
And scripture records that 3,000 people that very day were added to the kingdom.
Yeah.
I love that. And Peter actually quotes from the Old Testament prophet Joel, So Joel had written a prophecy for the people of God hundreds of years before Jesus would walk the face of the earth. And he would say, listen, in the last days, God is actually going to pour out his spirit on his sons and his daughters.
Yeah.
And so think about how that would have hit the people of Israel.
Right.
Because all they had ever seen or understood, no, God would put his spirit on specific people at specific times for specific purposes.
Right.
And Joel is saying, no. In the last days, God's actually going to pour out his spirit on all of his people.
Yeah.
And we see that happening. Every follower of Jesus receives the power of the Holy Spirit.
And, amen.
And what I love about this is it's so applicable for us today, right? Because I would ask the question, well, why, Tyler, Jesse, Jeff, that's great information, but why does that matter today? Well, I think the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, the reality of Pentecost at work in our lives, has so much purpose for today, so much significance for what we're walking through in the midst of navigating COVID, but also as we look to the other side of a world, on the other side of COVID-19, we need to be empowered people. And so there's a few thoughts that I know we're gonna talk through, but today, those thoughts, three realities of why the arrival of the Holy Spirit matters for us. Number one, the first importance is that this is personal.
Yeah.
It's personal. And I guess the question that I have for each of you, when did the Holy Spirit become personal? Like, when did that work? When did that empowerment? When did everything kind of change for you? Jeff, when was that?
Well, I had the privilege of growing up in church. So, I mean, and in a church that would be considered Pentecostal. So, I mean, this is day six to today.
Yeah.
So it's a long-term deal. So over the course of time, I think you absorb it, but you don't necessarily always experience it. And just getting to that place where it's like, okay, what does this look like that this truly is a power source? And I think personally it's ongoing. An ongoing discovery, an ongoing development versus like, man, the light went on there. That was awesome. That was the light. That light turned on moment. But I think for me, it's definitely been in those seasons of life where you feel like I've got to do this in my own strength, or I've got to do this in my own power, or I've got to do this under my own. I just got to shoulder this thing. And so just specific times where it's like, oh, that was a train wreck, or that, boy, my own power only got me to here. Mm. I'm done. Into myself moments. So whatever that looks like, there's multiple times where just those into yourself moments, and it's like, okay, this is not working in my own strength, my own power, my own energy. This, it's kind of like the message in Matthew chapter 5. First Beatitude is just always like, hey, you're in a good place when you're at the end of your rope, because with less of you, there's more of God.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that in those end of the rope moments, less of me, more of God, those probably are those little snapshots where it's like, okay, this is real.
That's when it became personal to you.
Yeah, this is real right here. Yeah. I am at the end of my rope, but that's the place God wants me to be, because when I'm there, now there's way more of God.
Yeah, that's good. Jesse, what about you?
Yeah, my story's a little different, and but I'm raising up some kids, so I need your counsel and story. But I didn't grow up in the church at all, and really my first exposures to anything of Christianity was just really coming into a conversation that people were sharing about Jesus, and I started kicking the tires on it just based out of need. Like, hey, I've kind of done all this, and so my salvation story is pretty radical, but I'd say my immersion or baptism in the Holy Spirit is a pretty radical story too. But I at this point, I was a follower of Jesus, actually even working for a parachurch organization, and went back to Bible college and met a friend there, and was doing this distant learning and going to school, college at night, and met a friend. And long story short, he invited me to a kind of a house church environment, and there was this guy, I mean, he could have been Axl Rose. He was just missing the cigs rolled up in his sleeve. But he's preaching, and I had a Palm Pilot. This is, I was pretty advanced.
Yes.
And I had the scriptures on my Palm Pilot. I'm following along with this guy. He's preaching, and it's great. But literally, it's deep August. We've been sitting in this front room for about 2 hours, and I'm telling my friend, hey, we gotta go. He goes, just wait, please. And I'm like, okay. And the guy gets done, he goes, hey, we're gonna pray for some people. Mm. And then he said, I think we're supposed to pray for Jesse. I was like, there's another guy named Jesse here. And then he says, no, you, come, Jesse, is it okay if we pray for you? And I was like, sure. I mean, I've been falling on my Palm Pilot. You've been, everything you're preaching is pretty good. He goes, well, have you ever prayed in the spirit? I said, well, I fell asleep one time and I thought I woke myself up, and I know the Bible says to earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. I said, so I'm open. He's like, well, let's just pray. Next thing you know, I'm literally full on the ground and had this Holy Spirit encounter, and somebody hands me a piece of paper, and the front of it basically tells me my entire story up to that point, and the backside is telling me about the rest of the story that God has for me, and I've watched these things come to fruition one after one. And so pretty radical encounter, but this was at that point, I knew in my salvation that I had all access to the Holy Spirit, but from that point forward, I gave him full access to my life.
Mm,
and so
that's good.
It just got a little more clear as far as the call, and it became really personable.
Yeah.
Because now I know he knew everything. He knew the worst about me, but he still had the best for me and led me into this love relationship. And it was just an overwhelming sense of his goodness and grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I love about both of your stories is, again, whether it's progressive, whether it's some radical, you know, moment, the Holy Spirit is actively working to draw us to himself.
Amen.
To conform us, to look more like Christ. And I just love that he is personal.
Yeah.
He is personal, and in that place where we can create space for it to become real to us. Because I think one of my concerns is that maybe we've been following Jesus for a long time, and we believe the words, but we leave it locked up in here.
Right.
And I think the dynamic, everything changed for Peter when he encountered the Holy Spirit. Everything changed for the church on Pentecost Sunday. And I wonder how many of us, we just need to somehow in God's grace kind of turn that corner and allow it not just become somebody else's story, but open up our hearts to allow that to become a part of our story as well. Speaking of relationship, how do we deepen that relationship with the Holy Spirit? Real quick, just off the top of your, what are some practical ways that we can deepen that relationship with the Holy Spirit?
Daily.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a rhythm to relationship. I mean, you think of any relationship you have, and it's got a pattern, it's got a rhythm to it.
Yeah.
And it's something that you have to continually just allow to be developed in your life. And prayer, scripture, I mean, the basics. I mean, sometimes the basics.
Yeah, but you're emphasizing that daily rhythm?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the daily rhythm becomes very significant because it's like, you ever read, I mean, you and I read the Bible. I mean, that's, we get paid to read, no. But I mean, but we have a rhythm to like some scripture.
Yeah.
It's like when I pick it up every morning I'm looking for like the, maybe a verse that's just going to be like, okay, there's one that's
fresh.
Yeah. And then what's that invitation every day?
It's good.
That I can open my day up with, where it's like, okay, once again, I'm inviting myself into the relationship that's already there, but I'm making myself available for it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I don't know what you're up to today,
but
I just want to make myself available to what you have for me and what's going on around me, because I'm going to, if I see through those eyes, through the eyes of Christ, through the eyes of the Spirit empowering me, I see the world completely different.
Right.
An interruption isn't an interruption. A phone call isn't a phone call.
The next thing, not only is he personal, the Holy Spirit is powerful.
Right.
Right. When we encounter the Holy Spirit, stuff changes in our lives. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, I know the moment that I mention power, again, some people get a little bit nervous.
Right.
Right. Jess, you shared a little bit of kind of like that power encounter that you had, and they're like, okay, that's a little bit outside of my box.
It was mine too at the time. Yeah.
And that's the reality. But at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do what?
Right.
It's more than just a church service, right? I mean, what's the empowerment for?
Yeah, to, as he says scripturally, to be a witness, a bold witness.
Yeah.
You know, and for us to embody what he died for is going to take some boldness.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not willing to take a little bit of a risk when it comes to allowing him to lead our lives, then we're not relying on him. scripture in Ephesians 5. It says, I'll give a little context, but it says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like saying, you know, you're driving down the road, you get pulled over by one of our friendly officers, and he says, sir, are you under the influence, right? Don't get drunk on wine. Okay, all right, I won't get drunk.
Yeah.
But be filled with the Spirit, right? So basically what the question here is that what influence is our life being led under?
Yeah, that's really good.
The influence of my life is to be led by the Spirit of God. And if it's being led by the Spirit of God, it comes with a little bit of boldness.
Mm.
And it's not just me being a bull in a china shop. All of a sudden, I've got a bigger personality.
Right.
No, it's about me being courageously willing to share the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
With a world that needs it so desperately.
So we've talked about personal, we've talked about powerful, but now let's focus in on this third area, which is purposeful.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit was given for a purpose. Now we've kind of clarified this. It's empowerment to be a witness, to see the mission of Jesus continue to go forward. And I think it's so important that we're clear on, that was for the start of the church, but it wasn't the stopping point either of the work that he wanted to do. And I think even as we face COVID and life after COVID, our world is not just going to need a nice church.
Right.
Our world's going to need an empowered church.
So good. So good.
We don't just need a smart church. We need an empowered church.
Yes.
Right. And so this all goes back. It's not just like Tyler's vision, Jesse's vision, Jeff's vision. No. We all find our purpose, our significance in Jesus' mission. That's what we're trying to accomplish. And we find that in Matthew 28.
Right.
Right? Great commission. I'm going to quote as much of it from memory as I can. You know, Jesus gathered with his disciples and he says, therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples. Again, he didn't say go and help people make decisions. He said, go and make disciples. That's an important note. But teach these new disciples to do all that I've commanded you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always. How can Jesus say he's going to be with us always as he then ascends to heaven and the disciples are going, where did you go, Jesus?
So good. Yep.
He came and dwelled among us.
Right.
He's living within us.
Within, yeah.
And now that's the purposeful part of it.
Right.
What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? It's not just to have really wild church services.
Right.
What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Not to creep your friends out or keep you from inviting friends to church because you don't, oh, I don't know if he's going to show up today.
Don't talk about it today, Pastor.
Oh, man, I'm glad we're doing church from home. They're talking about Pentecost. Just fast forward this one, you know.
Right.
No. It's not meant to be weird. It's meant to be purposeful.
Yes.
And I know for me, there's been different times where I would say, well, if I was going to be purposeful, I'd do it different.
Yeah.
But that's where I have to go back and go, I'm not God.
Nope.
I'm not God.
Amen.
Personal, powerful, purposeful.
Yeah.
I love this thought. Came across this thought. We were talking about it. It simply says this: the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not a luxury. It's an absolute necessity.
That's right. Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
Right.
We can't get ourselves to God without the work of the Spirit. We can't put our trust in Jesus without the work of the Spirit.
Right.
We can't experience sanctification, that ongoing process of looking more and more like Jesus without the work of the Spirit. We can't be bold witnesses without the work of the Spirit. I mean, from start to finish, we are in desperate need of the Spirit at work in our lives. And so for me, I know, again, we started with this.
Yeah.
When you talk about essential.
Right.
The Spirit is essential. And I think it's so fitting, again, in the midst of navigating COVID. Right now, we're not able to gather together in live in-person gatherings in our buildings. But think about that first Pentecost Sunday, the birth of the church. They didn't have buildings. What did they have? They had homes.
Right. Yep.
They had the truth of who Jesus was, this resurrected King that now has given this gift, the fulfillment of, again, that prophecy in Joel. I'm going to pour out my Spirit. And that's the day and the gift that we still live in today. Because what I love about the book of Acts, it's still going.
Yes, amen.
It's still going. It's still alive.
Yeah.
And it's still well. And so, listen, today I know we want to pray for people to put their trust in Jesus.
Yes.
And so today, listen, as you watch at home, maybe you've never made the decision to put your trust in Jesus. We want to give you that opportunity to do that today, because that's really the path to experiencing his presence taking up residence. Like Jeff said, the moment you put your trust in Jesus, you're connected.
Right.
But what I love about that connectivity is there's even greater empowerment that God has for each and every one of us. And so we're going to take a moment. We're going to pray for that. But I want to pray first and foremost for those of you who maybe never made the decision to put your trust in Jesus. You want to know that you're free. You want to know that you're forgiven. You want to know that you're a new creation. It's not through your efforts or through your earning. It's through trusting in what Jesus has already done for you. So today, right there on the other side of this screen, can I invite you, if that's your desire, would you just say a simple prayer with me? Come on, right where you're sitting out loud, just repeat this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation. And help me to follow you all the days of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, we want to be the first to celebrate you, because Scripture says you're a new creation. But not only that, we're going to pray for one more thing right now. And we're going to just pray for those who desire to experience that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I've had so many different moments. We've all had different moments throughout the years where the Holy Spirit just comes in a fresh way. So we're going to pray for that right now as well. And so who wants to do that? Jesse, you want to go for that?
Yeah, let's pray.
Yeah, go for it.
Holy Spirit, we thank you, God, that you are present. You are with us. And God, as Jesus said, I leave here. And you asked us to wait for the promise. And some of us have moved on. We received Jesus, but we didn't wait for the Spirit of God to fill us. And God, we just thank you for this moment, that we would be still and know that you are God, that we'd be willing to be filled fresh and anew. Lord, we know that you're pouring out, and you said in the last days you would pour out on all people. So today is no different. We know what days we're in. We make ourselves fully available to your infilling. So God, anyone that would make themselves available, God, I just pray we would be filled to the overflowing. God, that the sufficiency we would find in you is the fullness of having the Spirit lead us to be in step with you. So God, I just pray for that freshness today. Fill my friends, fill them afresh, fill them anew, and let us be led by you, O Holy Spirit, to be bold witnesses to the work and the life of Jesus Christ, to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.